Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Karate Cafe. It is April 22nd, and we're back after a short hiatus. We've had personal things to do, and like you all know, this is a volunteer basis, and we do it when we get a chance, hopefully every week or every 2 weeks. That's what we're shooting for right now. With me is Paul Wilson, down in Texas. I'm Pete Shambo. I do Shorinkan, and Paul?
I do Shorinru Kenshinkan. Okay.
And Gene is preoccupied today. Like I said, we've all had busy lives this past spring, and we'll be getting together again, the three of us, pretty soon. So what's going on tonight, Paul?
Well, what is going on tonight? We actually got, let's go on and kick off with a positive note, because I may step on some toes, as they say on other podcasts. Why don't you read that really nice letter we got the other day?
Okay, let me dig that up here. Hold on.
Oh, yeah. Karate Cafe mailbag.
Yeah, out of the Karate Cafe mailbag, we've got a letter from someone named Becky O., and she says, hello there. I just wanted to send a quick thank you for taking the time out of your busy days to produce the Karate Cafe podcast. As a parent who has followed her daughter into training in the martial arts, I've enjoyed listening to all your podcasts over the past 6 months or so, and I'm looking forward to the next one. Well, here it is. Here's the next one. I hope she enjoys it. We've gotten some other emails. We got one.
We're going to dedicate this one to Becky O.
Okay. Well, this podcast is to Becky O. We got a podcast, or excuse me, we got an email today that was lengthy, and it looks like it could be a topic for a show, at least one topic for a show. So we'll be getting to that one in the next week or two. Let me see here. Okay. Anything else? So I hear Master Kisei's coming to town, or?
Oh, yes, sir. Master Kisei, you better watch out. Yeah, our Grandmaster, Fusakise Hanshi, is coming to Trinidad, Texas, which is about an hour and a half southwest, I think, southeast of Dallas. John Shipes is bringing him in. He's our regional director down here, and he'll be in here on the weekend of May 17th. He's coming down with his son, Isao Sensei, and they're going to, correct our wrongs and show us some new stuff. We're going to do a Nitambo as a featured weapon, so that'll be kind of cool. That's kind of like the Eskrima stick for those who don't, I think that's what that is.
Oh.
So he'll be in for the entire weekend, and like every year he comes through, and I think he's going to go up to New England after that. But he'll be here, so it's not too late if you want to come in. I think Saturday's the day that it's open to any style, and then the rest of the weekend is all association people. But if you guys want to need any more information, give us an email over here at karatecafe@gmail.com, and we will get you that information.
Okay, I'm still hung up on Trinidad, Texas. Is that like the vacation spot in Texas? Is it near?
That is. There's probably somebody in Trinidad who might be listening, and I don't want to disparage their fine town. Normally he has it in Athens, but I guess the location that he usually uses is booked up, and so Trinidad has a nice big area that it's like 15 minutes away from Athens, so really it's not that big a deal.
But is it near Tobago, Texas?
No, it's not. However, strangely enough, John got an email from somebody a month or three ago who is an old-time student of Master Kisei and lives in Trinidad. You know, the country. So, yeah.
The one that's not in Texas.
The one that's not in Texas, and he's actually going to try and make it. So that'd be kind of funny if he had to go from Trinidad to Trinidad.
Yeah, I wonder how much the airfare is for that.
Well, it ain't cheap from what I understand, but, it's Master Kisei, he comes every year, and he...
Yeah.
We always have a good time, and if he can make it, it's great. And, he does it a couple places in the States, and he also goes to... we have a school in Argentina, and we have schools in Australia. So he tries to get around and do his thing. So if you're in our association and get a chance to see him, you really need to. And since he's like an hour and a half from my house, I need to kind of do it.
Yeah, definitely.
If I'm lucky, maybe he'll grace my dojo with his presence, but I don't think he's going to have time.
So, Paul, right near, I live in upstate New York, and right near us in upstate New York, there's an official boxing hall of fame out in Canastota. And we also have the Baseball Hall of Fame in right about an hour and a half from us in New York State. And they're the official Hall of Fames for each of those sports. Have you got any Hall of Fames you can think of?
Oh, my gosh. But the Left-Handed Martial Artist Hall of Fame.
The Left-Handed Martial Artist Hall of Fame. That's a real Hall of Fame.
No, but it's good enough for the purposes of some of the people whose websites I've seen lately.
Okay.
What? Is that a rant coming on? Okay, people. This is me. This is just me and you and Pete. And I've just got something I got to get off my chest. You know, I was messing around on the internet the other day, and I found a link to a website to an actual... It's actually in a dojo in New York State, ironically enough. And the problem was, I went and looked at the instructor bio, and the first thing that kicked off was the fact that they had developed their own style of karate. But you know, that's neither here nor there. But it's the fact that, like, throughout... Basically, she had a chronological order of all her achievements. And this instructor, and I said her, it's a lady person, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it was like someone took a shotgun blast, and every hole was a, you know, a Hall of Fame of somebody. You know, and I've noticed this kind of this trend in styles or at schools, these instructors who, especially guys who are like sokkes and grandmasters of, you know, some system that they developed, quote unquote, and it's just shot through with Halls of Fame. You know, like there's some people around here who is like they're in the Texas Hall of Fame, and they're in the North Texas Hall of Fame, and they're in the Southwest Regional Hall of Fame. They're like all these halls of fame that they're part of, and you know, I'm going to call a spade, and I have no evidence to back this up. This is just purely my old journalist's intuition, is that some money changes hands with somebody, and so ooh, here's a plaque.
You know, it occurs to me, listening to you, some of these Hall of Fames may be legitimate. But the fact that some of these Hall of Fames may not be legitimate kind of waters down the effectiveness or the reason for being in any of these Hall of Fames.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it's just like before the show we were talking, and because we talk, and you know, like the Oscars to me is like martial arts has no Oscars, you know, and I'm sure there's lots of things that don't have the you know, something that's at that level, but. You know, martial arts doesn't have the Oscars. So anything less than that is, you know, there's just something screwy about it. I mean, if you know, people nominate people for the Oscars, you know, there's a set criteria, you know, a year to a year, and, you know, everyone's in that mix, and there's some nominations, and then the nominations get reviewed, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. They got to meet a certain set of criteria, and then, but it's, you know, it's a nationwide kind of thing, or it's a national sort of thing. But there's like literally, you know, like I could start my own, the Karate Cafe Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but the Oscars are in recognition of good work. These Hall of Fames, I don't know, I have the impression that people join them to lend legitimacy to their art or their style.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's, you know, that's part of the thing is they're doing it because, you know, they don't have either A, they think they need more legitimacy, and it sounds cool. I guess it's a good marketing tool. But it's also, you know, just maybe the fact that, like I say, there's some people out there who have seen fit to reinvent the wheel or put a different rim on it or something, yeah, and say they've made a new style or a new system. I like it better when they say they made a new system, because the system, I can kind of let it slide a little bit because it's just a different way of maybe teaching something.
Yeah.
But if they, you know, like if I say, oh, I created a new system of Unkuru, and if our listeners out there get that, they'll get the prize.
Yeah.
If, you know, if I create a style of Unkuru, but it looks exactly like Shorinru, but, you know, I say, oh, no, this is Unkuru, and I developed a system, I'm yanking somebody's chain.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not honoring the people who have taught me. I'm not honoring all the people who've been doing it over the generations. You know, but if I said, you know, this, my school is Unkuru, and I teach Shorinru, my version of Shorinru, I mean, that's, I can kind of let that slide a little bit.
Yeah, but now when looking for, we'll get into this in another podcast too. But I want to touch on it when looking at a school. I mean, in my impression is that some of the people join these Hall of Fames to, like I said, lend legitimacy to their style or to their dojo, And it's meant kind of, if it's done in that manner, it's meant kind of to dupe the public, I would imagine. So if you're looking for a school, do you discount all Hall of Fames or all certificates or accreditations of that manner?
No, absolutely not. I mean, there's, I want to have an I Love Me Wall too, you know, and I've got, well, the way I look at it, you know, like my instructor has his, like, I guess he has his Shodan through his Rokudan, you know, in his school, and the ones he got for Kobudo and whatnot, and then, you know, that's kind of it, and he has his dojo charter. At my school, I don't even have my dojo charter up yet. I haven't figured out a way to put it up there and it not get, you know, damaged by the violent yoga action that goes on the rest of the week. But for, you know, to have just like this, you know, like this, you see the schools that have like the windows, the storefront windows, and they're just full of, you know, trophies. You can go buy a freaking trophy. You know, I assume at some level somebody's going to get roped into that and go like, wow, there's a lot of trophies. This must be really good. You know, but you know, the proof is on the floor. And so, you know, if you go to a school and I see, you know, like I've never been to like, you know, a Gracie Jiu-Jitsu or a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu school that's got, you know, stuff everywhere. It's, they pretty much got their floor, you know, and you come out there and roll with them, and that's the way it works. I've never been to a traditional, you know, a real good traditional school that has all their trophies and whatnot. They generally have a couple pictures of their instructors and a floor.
Well, that's interesting. You said the Gracie school. Okay, I'm getting a little echo. Well, traditional schools aren't always about tournaments. Some are, some aren't. But the Gracie school is very much oriented towards tournaments of one type or another. And for them, I've never been to a Gracie school. For them not to show their trophies, to me, says a lot about their beliefs or what they teach.
Well, yeah, I mean, you go out on the floor and they approves it, you know. I mean, they can get trophies up and whatnot, but I don't think that, you know, they don't need to toot their own horn. Really, they've got their own marketing campaign as it is, so yeah. They really don't need to.
Yeah.
But, you know, an average, like, small school like mine, for example, you know, we don't do tournaments and whatnot, but, yeah, I don't feel the need, like if somebody called me and said, like, hey, we're from the Texas, you know, Martial Arts Hall of Fame, whichever version of it it is, because, you know, that's the thing. It's like a group of instructors get together and they start their own little Hall of Fame, and then this other group of instructors in the same town do it, but they don't necessarily, you know, intermix.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they said, like, oh, you know, we hear you're doing good things, and I'm like, okay, you know, but I would be hard-pressed to go, you know. Essentially what it would be for me is the big criteria, the cutting edge would be like, somebody says money somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, you've been nominated for this award, you know, and it'll cost you this much, you know, for the thing.
Yeah, for $1,000 or for $500, we'll induct you.
Yeah, you know, and then you'll be a member and you can, you know, nominate other members and stuff like, you know, it just seems like a lot of them are scams, yeah. You know, and the fact that, or at least if nothing else, you know, mutual admiration societies, but, you know, I mean, if they have these things, like I've seen the pictures of them and they have them, they're on a little, you know, they're in a room in a hotel or something and they've got their table and dais set up and there's really nice plaques and everyone's in suits or tuxes and, what? And Master Kisei got suckered into one of these one time, you know, somebody, oh, we want you to come and do the thing. And it was really just, it was bad business.
Oh, yeah. Well, some of them, there's no criteria to be in the Hall of Fame. You know, you wonder. Well, there is one criteria. It's the color green. But you have to, when you see those Hall of Fame plaques or certificates or diplomas, whatever, kind of ask yourself, or I don't know if you'd be so bold as to ask the instructor what kind of demonstration was required to get that.
Well, you know, what I do a lot of times when I see, especially like the World Family Soki Ship Council or whatever, that thing is so crap. And I said it before on a message board and people got mad at me, but it's a generality, but I can be general because it's my podcast. My podcast is, you know, it's a bunch of fat old guys who got together and said, like, hey, you want to be a Soke? Which, you know, it's like, you're not a Soke. You're just, you're teaching someone else's style, jackass, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, stuff like that, if you get on there and you Google them, like 9 times out of 10, you can't find anything out about them. That Soke Ship Council, they do have a website. And they've been going for quite a while, so there must be something to it. But I don't see what it is, because a lot of the people that I see that they honor, well, like they'll honor, like, you know, it's a freaking throwaway, like Bill Wallace, you know, or like Chuck Norris or Fumio Demura, you know, all these big names that are on the seminar circuit or well-known martial art guys. It's like, oh, they're a part of this. Of course they're a part of this. You probably paid them $500-$600 and flew them in for this.
Yeah, so that they have some name recognition.
Yeah, you know, they don't give a crap. And so, you know, you'll see all these people are like, they've got a picture of me, and that's the other thing was I actually posted it on my blog was, you know, look, I'm standing next to someone famous, so I must be good. Yeah. You know, it's a picture of them standing next to Chuck Norris or a picture of them standing next to, you know, Don Wilson. Or, you know, and it's like, yay, you were at a seminar with them.
Yeah.
They don't know your name. Yeah. And there was one guy on a message board who said that he trained with Dan Inosanto, and I'm like, and then you read a few more posts, and he was at a seminar with Dan Inosanto. I'm like, well, no, you didn't train with him. Just because you're in the room with him.
Yeah.
You know?
That's training.
And there was a guy on the message board that was talking about his instructor is a big-time Jeet Kune Do instructor who says he's a 10th-degree grandmaster of this style that he created. And I'm like, well, if you're trumpeting that you're Bruce Lee's student and then you're turning right around and saying you're a 10th-degree grandmaster of some martial arts style, isn't that kind of not what Bruce Lee said?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, I was like, okay, you can't be saying, ooh, look, I'm one of Bruce Lee's students, and then run around the other side and go, but look, these old guys say I'm a 10th degree. And, all right. And,
you know, we like you said, we were talking a little bit before we started the show here, and I said that my feeling is these certificates and these Hall of Fame certificates are somewhat because Americans want to see some recognition for... They believe that it lends legitimacy to the style. They want. I equated it to, you go into a grocery store and the food you buy, you expect to be healthy because the government certifies it. Your teachers are certified. Your doctors are certified. So if you see a certification, you think that makes the person, the instructor, legitimate. And I said that's the way Americans feel. I'd be interested. We have an international audience, and I'd be interested they find a lot of this in other countries around the world. If there's Hall of Fames that are maybe not as official as they seem to be.
Well, yeah, I think in England, I think they actually there is a governmental body that rides herd over martial arts.
Oh, really?
In some way, shape, or form. Yeah, I think I've seen it on the internet. And if anyone out there knows about it or has heard about it, drop us an email or post on the forums. So yeah, because I think there are other countries that do it, and I know Japan, the government gets into it at some level.
Oh, well,
you know,
yeah, but for them, it's a it's part of their heritage, at least in some parts of the country.
Yeah,
yeah. The forums are at karatecafe.com, and the email is karatecafe@gmail.com. We'd really like to hear from somebody from another country, even Canada.
They could actually invade you, dude. You shouldn't.
I know. Actually, I like Canada. I go up to Toronto as often as I can. Go up to Ottawa as often as I can.
I think you have a valid point as far as, and then again, that's kind of where I was getting before was, you know, when I go and on these websites and I see, you know, certified as an 8th degree black belt by the International Martial Arts Association, you know, or, you know, okay. Are they in an Intercontinental Karate Association, you know, or whatever? And then you go Google them, and you can't find any.
Yeah.
Well, they're gonna have some presence. I mean, especially with Google or a lot of the search engines that you have today, we'll find it.
Yeah.
You know? And if they on their site do not have a link back to it, you know, I mean, like on my website, I have a link back to our association website, and I have a link to pretty much. You know, and on our association website, there's links to many of our schools. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, if you just have kind of like your school and you say you're like a 9th degree black belt by, you know, given you to by a shadowy character, you know, late at one night and, you know, in the Orient, no, everyone's pretty much got a trail of some kind.
Yeah.
And if you go to a school and you see all these certificates You know, and I think I actually have it on my website on like choosing a martial arts school. Is, you know, look at the strength and write down the associations. You know, and go home and do some research. Okay. You know, if you're gonna have your kid train at the school or you're interested in the school, yeah, ask the instructor, you know, who's runs this association, you know, what was the criteria for me to do it, and then, you know, write them down and go do a little research.
Yeah, now you said that you have how to choose a school on your website. Where's your website?
It's a glorious website at myspace.com. It's myspace.com/KenshinCon, all one word.
Okay. Yeah, because after listening to that, some people might be going there right while they listen to this to look up schools. Because I know some of our people are getting into schools, they're moving. You know, maybe they're looking for their kids and they found a podcast because of that. You know, there's a lot of different reasons people are listening to us. We have everything. As we grow, we're growing steadily, and as we grow, we have, you know, all different kinds of people listening, everything from the beginners to parents of beginners to old-timers like you and I, Paul.
Easy now.
Well, semi-old-timers.
So. Sometimes I feel like I'm an old-timer.
Yeah.
I mean, we were going to do mat work the other day, and I actually got the mat out of the closet, and I was looking at it going like, man, I'm going to be needing some Motrin. Where, you know,
Tiger Bomb.
15 years ago, I was, let's roll, you know, woo.
Yeah. Yeah. You can smell the Bengay and Tiger Bomb when we get there.
it'll reek, you know. But, you know, I do a preemptive strike of Motrin before and after, and, well, life is good. Yeah, I've never really used Tiger Bomb. I know people swear by it, I don't know.
Yeah, well, it smells enough that maybe that's what does it.
It stinks. Again, there's, you know, like I'm standing next to someone famous, so I must be good. It stinks, so it must be good.
Exactly.
Now, where's the certification behind that? You know, I really actually would like to hear from a lot of our listeners and readers on the forum because, you know, I know there's got to be some people out there who have schools that they're a part of that are that way, and I'm not denigrating their schools. I mean, because again, it's on the floor. You know, they could be, you know, a complete, you know, look like a McDojo and, you know, run their school like a McDojo and have the whole, you know, another, you know, the Black Belt Academies, those things drive me up the wall, and,
yeah,
cool. You know, just all that madness and all the Hall of Fames and plaques and yada, yada, yada. And, but then you get on the floor and they may be devastating.
Yeah.
You know, they
made it. That's a good point. I mean, in order for a good dojo, we'll say a good dojo that's teaching legitimate art, maybe, you know, maybe the best dojo in the U.S., they still have to market themselves. So they could be a good dojo and still use these as marketing tools.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, for me, it's like, where do you draw the line? You know, where does, you know...
Well, like you said, it's on the floor. That's the telling tale. Take the time... To if you're moving and looking for a new school, or if you're you know, if you're looking for your first school, take the time. Don't be embarrassed to sit at classes. A good instructor would let you sit and watch for two or three classes.
And, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and there are schools. I've actually done seminars at schools where the dojo was so small that they had a closed circuit camera. They had another room for parents and interested parties, and they had a closed circuit camera on the one of the floors. So you could watch from a separate room. But I don't know of any schools that don't let you watch the classes, even whether you have somebody that's going there or not. And like I said, if you sat there for two or three different days, the instructor's not going to get upset. The owner's not going to get upset. He's going to welcome it.
Yeah, one of the things that I put on my limited, you know, verbiage for my school is, you know, I say, well, what I did was I said, you know, the last week of the month, the last week of classes for the month are dedicated for beginners. So if you want to try it, that's when you want to come. That way it doesn't, because, you know, we're kind of small and we don't, you know, I really don't like downshifting the whole class for, you know, a couple of people to learn the basics, because I teach everything really kind of slow for the beginners. Anywho, so I say, you know, the last week of the month that those classes are for people who want to try it out. And then, but I said, you can come anytime you want. We've got a, you know, little sitting area there with a couch, and we've got folding chairs. And I've had people, now the weather is really nice, so I kind of keep the door open because there's a lot of people walking up and down the street, and a couple people stick their head in. I'm like, come on in, you know, have a seat right there, and, you know, we just do our thing. And if you got any questions, just ask. And, you know, because it's open. You know, I've got nothing to hide. I've got nothing, you know, I'm not really trying to impress them. I'm just doing my class, and if they like it and are interested, then they're going to stick around. If they're not interested, then they're not. But I don't really want to, you know, try and sell them. And I don't you know, go like, wow, look at all this cool stuff they have, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it's on the floor. You know, I want them to sit and watch a class. I'd love people, before they even come in to work out, is to just come and sit and watch a class. Because especially for a traditional style, you know, we do lower kicks and, you know, there's people who are intimidated by it. And I'm like, look, I've had the people in the yoga class before me go like, you know, is it really hard? And I'm like, well, you do yoga. I can't do yoga. You know, you stretch more than I do, you know, so I encourage people to come and watch class.
Yeah. So yeah. I would say to we're getting to the we're right around 25 minutes. So I would say to people, if you're looking for a place or your first place or a new place, you know, pay attention to the certificates on the wall and the trophies and whatnot. Use that with a grain of salt. Then watch the floor, like Paul said, and see what happens on the floor, and see if that matches what the certificate. I mean, if you see the certificates, if they have 20 certificates sitting up there, but what you see on the floor doesn't tell you that they're really working hard at it, then you got to question the certificates.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, if things don't jibe, like, you know, if you're looking at the certificates and you see like a, you know, I don't know. It's they got a first degree in this style and a second degree in this style, and then all of a sudden, in the same style, they've all of a sudden, in a space of 2 years, gone to like a seventh degree. Something's not right.
Yeah.
Either they're incredible,
yeah,
or something's not right.
And as far as I'm not a dojo owner, you are, Paul. But as far as a recognition certificates like Hall of Fame or things of that nature, I would imagine they'd either mostly be related to our style. Related to, we're an Okinawan style, either directly to a Shorinru or to another Okinawan style, you know, keeping it in the family, as it were, or related to the immediate area, like when we were in the AAU, when we did a lot of AAU tournaments. They were all different styles, but it was all AAU. So if you see certificates that like are from all over the board, you don't know where they're from, and they seem to be not related in any way, that might be a sign.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because there should be, you know, some sort of coherent, you know, order of, you know, like the way the ranking goes and the way the association is. And, you know, I mean, and then people do switch associations. People do switch styles. People do, you know, any number of things. If, you know, one of the things that ticked me off is there's a lot of these schools now that will have, you know, like six or seven different martial arts in one school. And not say that they, you know, they're all an amalgam. They'll say, you know, like, oh, we teach, you know, karate and kung fu and tai chi and aikido and Brazilian jiu-jitsu and eskrima and Wing Chun. And wow. And I'm like, well, who's running the class? And there's like, it's one guy's school, and he'll be a fourth degree in his style, and then he'll be like a third or a second or a first in all the other styles.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you look at the guy who's teaching aikido, and he'll be a third or fourth degree in that, and then he'll be a second, third, or first in all the other stuff. It's like, so it's the guy brings him in, and, you know, like a guy's a dojo owner, and he brings aikido guy in, and maybe he learns some of the basics or whatever, and then that guy promotes him to first degree in aikido, so I guess they can teach each other those classes, and vice versa. You know, he promotes him to first degree in whatever. You know, it's... the only thing that's more egregious than that, in my mind, is someone who says they have, you know, really high ranks or fairly high ranks in like six or seven different styles.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there are people out there that are doing it. You know, one of our old senior instructors, he did that. I mean, but I'm sorry, I'm not buying it. I mean, he started, you know, learning when he was five. You know, there's a lot of people there that, you know, they're 28 and they got multiple degrees and different styles. I'm not buying it.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing to look for. So.
Yeah. You know, it's. I guess, you know, it's on the quality of the floor and I guess just if it seems too good to be true, it's not. You know, and so I think there's a lot of these things where they're in 18 different Hall of Fames.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
And
there's probably nothing famey about them.
Yeah. And when you And when you go to the dojo, don't be afraid to ask questions. And, you know, there's no stupid questions when it comes to karate. I mean, even between styles. If I went to Master Kisei's class, there's going to be things that to a seminar, there's going to be things that I don't understand that I haven't seen before. And for me to ask, there's no dishonor in asking a question about it. So if you go to a school and you know, you think, well, they'll think I'm a fool for asking, you know, why do they punch like that? Because punches seem to be intuitive, but sometimes they're not. You know, don't be afraid to ask.
Yeah, absolutely. If no one will answer your questions outright, if no one will, you know, and it's, and I think kind of maybe one of the things is it's like the air of mystery, you know, it's like, ooh, wow, you know, he's really accomplished. I shouldn't ask him. Well, that's when you definitely should ask him, because you should be able to back it up. Or
yeah.
she.
Yeah.
Either one.
I've never met an upper belt. I'm a second. I've never met somebody that's a higher rank than me that hasn't been willing to assist you and impart knowledge. I mean, they're very few of them brag about it, but you know, they'll give it to you if there's such a way, in a humble way, they'll give you what you need to know.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the guys who, you know, oh, well, go ask him because I'm too busy, you know, or, you know, there's some of these guys who are classic examples of everything I'm talking about the Hall of Fame and the Soke and the blah, blah, blah. And they have these schools and they're like, you know, way out of shape. They've got, you know, three or four people underneath them who are probably pretty good, you know, and they're like the senior hoobie-doos of Watson. And you like look at them and go like, why is this guy so great? And then, you know, they'll have pictures of them back in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, and then everything since then has all been, you know, honorary this and Hall of Fame that. And, you know, it's kind of like, well, you know, is that guy teaching class? Yeah. Does he ever teach class? You know?
Because
he's supposed to have all the knowledge.
I think we're getting to a topic that we've been discussing it, but I think there's a lot that we could talk about in another class, like what to look for in a specific instructor, in another podcast, excuse me. But I mean, there's a lot to it. We could probably spend three podcasts just on how to pick a dojo.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you know, I know we have some people out there who listen. I know we've gotten a couple emails of people who aren't even in the martial arts. They're kind of interested in it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's actually a good thing. And if you want, guys, post on the boards or send us an email, and we'll, you know, give our, you know, knowledge. You know, it's not Hall of Fame level knowledge, but it's knowledge.
Yeah. So I think we're going to wrap it up for tonight. We've gone our allotted 30 minutes. This is Pete Shambo.
And Paul Wilson.
And KarateCafe.com and KarateCafe@gmail.com. And we'll talk to you next week or the week after.